Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for that. I'm going to be in the book of John. It's actually the fourth gospel in the New Testament. John chapter 1. Is where I'm going to be. Before I jump into the text, I was reminded this week as I went to my mailbox, I paid extra attention when I went to my mailbox, how many invitations that we get. So I was just paying attention, and so here's some of the invites. Invitation for an oil change. Still had to pay for it. They just wanted me to come. All right, that's fine. Other ones didn't make it to my home. They went right to the trash bin. Three invitations for credit cards. An invitation from a financial services company to go to dinner for free. I don't think really it was going to be free. But that, right, we get a lot of invitations. Then I think about just how many invites we get via our email. Ugh. And then I was thinking beyond that, some of the invites we get, it's graduation season, so I've gotten a fair number of I can't go to all the graduation parties, but, right, we get some of those invites. I was thinking even bigger, some of the bigger invites we get. What about this one? It'll come up on the screen. It's an invitation to jury duty. It's really not an invitation, right? But you get that, and you're like, ugh. Some of us have gotten those. Other big invitations in our life. What about this one? Aww. Yeah, somebody's woo! The invitation to spend the rest of your life with someone you love. That's a big one. I was asking some of the staff, what are some of the biggest invitations in your life? And so Pastor Andrew actually shared, he got invited in sort of a unique way to spend it. I think it was a year or a specific period of time. It was a long period of time to go to Ireland to do some mission work, and that changed his life. Kind of a unique invitation. So as we think about the invitations in our life, I realize some of them are not amazing. Jury duty, credit card stuff. But if you think about the bigger invitations in your life, I'm going to argue that some of the greatest moments of your life are hidden behind an invitation from someone. Think about it. I was thinking about it in my own life. I lived in Fort Wayne. This was a number of years ago. I was not looking for another job, but someone from South Bend called me and said, hey, would you ever consider coming and working with this specific company in South Bend? And I said, sure. So I moved to South Bend. It's where I met my now wife, Ann, and invited her into this lifelong relationship that we're doing. I've been married 28 years. I think it's 28. I was invited, again, wasn't looking for a new job, but invited by a local hospital to work for them. I said yes to that. I was invited during that time to work with a homeless in downtown South Bend. Dove into that, which led me to a whole bunch of church stuff. We ended up visiting the Vineyard Church. I was not on staff, working in the marketplace. Mark Pope, the lead pastor, invited me to go to a Vineyard National Conference, and so I spent a couple of days with him at this Vineyard National Conference. And then the greatest invitation of all time, right? Jesus. The invitation to spend my life with him. What an invitation for many of us. I'm still living out of the greatness of that invitation. Let's just pause and look at a few things that Jesus invites us to. Let's look at the first one, Matthew chapter 11. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He was speaking to a group of people trying to clarify, hey, it's going to be hard, but in the hard seasons, come to me, I'll give you rest. I'm still living out of that invitation today. When I have a hard week or a hard day, the best way that I can find rest in my soul is to worship him and be with him. It's a great invitation. What about this one? John chapter 7, Jesus says this, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, look what he does here. I love this. Jesus says, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them. It's this little hint that Jesus is telling people that the entire scriptural account, Old Testament and New Testament, is a story with a thread inside of it that's an invitation to follow God, believe in him. It helps us during our living life, and it helps us in eternity. It is a beautiful invitation. Now, if some of our greatest moments of our lives and other people's lives are hidden behind an invitation, and the greatest moment of anyone's life is the invitation to Jesus, why aren't we inviting more people to a relationship with Jesus? It's a convicting question, and actually I was convicted over the last 10 days. I had a conversation with a friend, and as we were dialoguing, we were realizing, they actually challenged me a bit. It's really easy to look at the world, listen to the news, or listen to what's going on, some friends maybe, and rail about the problems that are going on today. Super easy. Just think of them. Some of the things you don't like happening in the community, or maybe it's a friend and they've got a problem. How easy is it for us to jump on the bandwagon of complaints? And what this friend said, which was super insightful, super helpful, was, did you know that behind every problem is a person? And many times, people who are representing things that aren't good, not only for them, but maybe for the world, the reason they're doing that is because they were hurt. And through that hurt, they're expressing the way that they think they should through this thing that's not healthy. And really what we should be doing is inviting that person who has the hurt to the presence of God instead of complaining. I thought of it this way. How many of us want the kingdom of God to break out in our lives, our families' lives, the church, the city, our friends? Just raise your hand if you want. Yeah. Did you know that the kingdom of God spreads through relationships and does not spread through complaints? Read the Bible, right? The kingdom of God spreads through relationships, not complaints. And I think I should be doing better, instead of jumping on someone's bandwagon about a problem, is inviting that problem and that person into the presence of God, because that's a much better solution. I think we all could probably do better at that. So with that, I want to remind us that we're in this series. The series is called Influence. The whole series, I'm finishing it up today, but the whole series was about, as followers of Jesus, we're not supposed to hide the greatest invitation of all time. And I'm not just talking about an invitation to a prayer of salvation. That's amazing if that happens. But really what I'm leaning into today is, we would do well if we didn't hide what the presence and the power of God has for us. And I want to look specifically today at a disciple. His name's Andrew. Andrew, one of the 12 disciples, he's sort of a unique dude. And as I was thinking about Andrew, he does something that has been helpful as I've studied them the last couple of weeks, helpful in my life. I think it could be helpful for all of us. So I want to read this account about Andrew. It's at the beginning of the book of John, so I don't have to give much context, right? This is the beginning of the story of Jesus. John the Baptist is announcing, hey, we all need to pay attention. Jesus is coming. He's the Messiah. And so in John chapter 1, verse 35, we pick up the account, and it says this: the next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Look what Jesus says. This is an invitation. Jesus was the master inviter. He says, come, he replied, and you'll see. That's a great invitation. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, this is the guy we're focused on today, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. It's just sort of a small snippet of what Andrew did after hearing Jesus, but it's actually helping me complain less and invite people into the power and the presence of God. So obviously today I'm talking about inviting people to that. I want you to think before I pray for the message, what are some of the fears that you have when you think about inviting your neighbor, coworker, friend, when you bring up the name of Jesus? Maybe they're not a Christian, you bring up the name of Jesus. What are some of the fears that you have? Just think about those. Thinking about some myself. All right, now let's pray. So Father, many of us in the room just thought through some of the stumbling blocks or fears that we have in bringing up your name. And so I pray as we dive into Andrew's response to meeting you that you would help us. Open our hearts, our minds, our ears to this message. Holy Spirit, help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's what I see in the text. You can write this down if it's helpful. Andrew's response to hearing Jesus led to an immediate personal invite. Immediate personal invite. So Andrew hangs out with Jesus for a few hours at most. And it says in verse 41, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother. Everybody say first thing. The first thing Andrew did when he got the exciting news that Jesus is who Jesus is, that the first thing he did is, I have to find my brother. I have to share this. I find that fascinating because when you look at the other disciples' response when they begin to follow Jesus, their first response isn't to leave Jesus to go someplace else. Their first response was to actually leave their family to hang out with Jesus. Their response was leave their job, whether they were a fisherman, whether they were a tax collector, leave all their equipment behind. Yet Andrew's response, because this was exciting, was, I got to go tell somebody. It reminded me, sort of in a weird way, about 6 weeks ago, I watched a movie. The movie was Cabrini. Anybody watch Cabrini, the movie? Look at that. Not many people. Cabrini was maybe, in the last 5 years, the best movie I've ever seen. It's a Christian movie. It's amazing. Now, many of you right now are writing down, Cabrini, question mark. How do I write? Here's the deal. When I first watched Cabrini that first week, I was inviting 10 people. You got to go see it. You got to see it. You got to see Cabrini. And then I thought, why am I inviting people to trivial things? It's a good movie, but why am I so excited to share Cabrini, but not yet that excited to share about Jesus? And then I began to ponder that. Maybe it's because I've normalized Jesus a little bit. Normalizing means, right, I've been a Christian for a while now, and so it's just become part of my life. Think about Cabrini, right? In the last week or 2 weeks, I saw it. It was exciting at first, but now I've normalized it. I haven't invited anybody outside of you all to watch the movie in a while because you get that? But let me offer a little bit of clarity. This is convicting to me. The news of Jesus is too good to normalize. The power and the presence of Jesus should never become stale and boring. It should be something that we share. The power of Jesus, his presence, is something that the world needs. It should never become stale. Let me give you reasons why. 2 weeks ago, more than this, 3-4 weeks ago, we had a night of worship here at the church. So a bunch of people came, right? We're worshiping. I think it's the second song. There was no invitation from the platform to do anything other than worship. I'm over here in the corner. Somebody taps me on the shoulder. No invitation. Just taps me on the shoulder and says, I think I need to give my life to Christ. Never met them before. I'm like, what? It's the presence of Jesus in the room, and somebody responded to that. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Okay, yep, led him to Christ. And then somebody else did the same thing. I'm like, what's going on? Then came up to the platform and said, okay, God must be up to something. And then 4 other people responded, right? The power of Jesus should never become stale. 2 weeks ago, here at the church, somebody came for the first time. And at the end of the service, somebody came over and prayed for them. They'd never been here before. They came back the next week and they found me. They had a Bible in one hand. They had something else in their other hand. They gave it to me. It was razor blades. And they described that 2 weeks ago, their plan was, all intentions was, I'm going to commit suicide. And they came that week, somebody stopped, prayed for them, somebody got them a Bible, and now their direction of their life is something different. The power and the presence of Jesus should never become stale, ever, ever. Which is why I love Andrew. Andrew in the Bible is amazing. Every time he shows up, he's inviting people. Follow this. So he gets his brother, and then the story advances. I don't know how much time, but some time advances. Jesus is doing great things. He's preaching great sermons. Thousands of people have gathered around. They've listened to Jesus for a long time. Now they're hungry, and people are like, how are we going to feed all these people? There's this one boy, right? Maybe you know the story. I've got a little bit of food, some fish, some loaves. And so what happens? John chapter 6, verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, there he is again, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. It might seem insignificant to you, but here's what Andrew's doing. You know what? This is a problem. Here's a boy that's got some stuff. Don't know how this is going to work, but tell you what, I'm going to invite that boy and those things into the power and the presence of Jesus and watch what happens. John chapter 12, we see a group of people. They're called the Greeks. They don't know much about Jesus, but they go to this religious festival. They hear that Jesus is there. And so what happens? Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Pause. Philip, go to Jesus. Right? What does Philip do? Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. So Andrew, in the middle of this, Philip comes to him. Andrew's like, you know what we need to do with these people? We need to get them into the power and the presence of God. Andrew is, you can write this down, Andrew regularly connected people to Jesus. It's the model that we should be doing. Look at this. End of the book of Matthew, Jesus is finishing his ministry. Right at the end of the book, he's speaking to his disciples, but it's a challenge to all of us. Matthew chapter 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Go make disciples of all nations. That means we go and invite. We believe this so firmly as a church, as the Vineyard Church. It's part of the reason we exist. It's part of our mission statement. You may not know this, but you head out those back doors, turn left. On the wall is our mission statement. We exist to make new followers of Jesus and disciple them into maturity. That's part of our DNA. If you don't get that, hello, welcome to the Vineyard. That's just what we do because that's what Jesus told us to do. Mark chapter 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, even the people you don't like. He didn't say that. I'm just including that under the all. It's so convicting to me when I complain about a people group that I don't like. What in the world are they doing? I don't understand that. They're all wrong. And Jesus is whispering to us, hey, how about you go preach the gospel to them? Philemon, Paul writes the letter of Philemon. He says this, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that's in us for the sake of Christ. Paul is imploring, he's praying. The sharing of your faith is important. I'm reminded the last 2 months I've been meeting with J.J. Solfrunk. He's actually here. I saw him earlier. Yeah. This is J.J. And his wife, Heather. In February, Heather came to me and with the request, hey, would you meet with J.J.? They were fine, but I was like, sure. I don't think we had ever met before that, and so I think I texted him and said, hey, you want to meet, go through the book of Luke. How about we go through the book of Luke together over the next couple of weeks? I don't know why he said yes, probably the Lord. He said, sure. And so over the last, 6, 7, 8 weeks, we read through the book of Luke together. Then we did the book of Acts. We're not meeting anymore. But during that time, he said yes to Jesus, and he got baptized, which is great. Right? In itself, that's amazing. But what I find interesting is that JJ began to realize how amazing Jesus was, reframe his thinking about the gospel and what it means, not because of what I said, but because what it says in here. And he began to talk about Jesus with his family. Talk more about with his brother. And I think his brother's getting baptized this month. Yeah, he is. How awesome is that? Began to talk more about his dad. I see his dad over here. His dad has been here the last 4 out of 5 weeks. Yes? Yeah. He has a plan to talk to his sister. JJ gets it, and he realizes that what is going on inside because of the gospel is too good not to share. Now, a practical moment. Why aren't we doing this more? I want to give you 3 things that I believe are fears that we should and can overcome. So here's something to think about. What is not fill in the blank. You can write it down if you want. Super helpful. What stops us from first thing invitations? The reason I say this is first thing invitations is because it's the first thing Andrew did, but also the first thing we should do. Instead of jumping on a complaint, instead of agreeing with the lament, the first thing we should do is say, there's a better answer for this. So why don't we do that? First one is beliefs. It could be you believe that, well, that's really not my job. That's the pastor's job. That's the church staff's job. Or maybe you might think, I've heard this one before, well, the faith, it's their faith. I shouldn't be, like, that's God's job to call them into the faith. I don't want to mess that up. I'm an introvert. I'm a processor. I'm not an extrovert. Just for clarity, let's go back to Matthew 28. It says this, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus did not say, okay, all you extroverts, here's what I need you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. Introverts, you're off the hook. Just stay home, think about it, pray, right? Which is great. You can pray about it as well. No, we're all, as followers of Christ, called to do that. So it could be beliefs. Heads up, we're all in the game. Second thing could be a fear. You might have a fear of, if I bring up Jesus in this conversation, not just lead people to Christ, that's good, but what if I just say the name of Jesus, or I talk about there's something in the Bible that's amazing, or you should come, well, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to reject me? Are they going to treat me differently? Or maybe you have this fear that, you know, I don't know enough about the Bible. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I'm not reading. I'm not praying. I guess, you know how long Andrew was with Jesus before he made an invitation? One day. Many of you have been with Jesus more than one day. You are more than qualified to go talk to other people about Jesus. We've brought up this verse sort of unintentionally. We have not had a discussion, Pastor Mark and I have not had a discussion about this. But we've brought up this verse, Galatians 1:10. Almost every message in this series. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Like, too often I think fear of, I want to please the other person, gets in the way of an invitation. The last one is time. Not sure if I have time to invest. I'm super busy. They're super busy. Just a reminder, this is a reminder for me just as much as it is for you. Someone had time for me. Someone carved out time for Steve Huffman to make a decision to follow Jesus, and my life has been different. And someone made time for you. 1 John 4:11 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And loving one another means I should love the person enough to make an invitation. Even if you share it imperfectly. So Andrew's response to hearing Jesus led to an immediate personal invite. Here's the second thing I see in the text. Could be helpful. I think it's really helpful. Andrew's response to hearing Jesus led to more than a drive-by chat. More than a drive-by chat. I found this interesting. You look at the text. Andrew's first thing is he goes to find his brother, and what does he do? Verse 42, it says, and Andrew brought him, his brother, to Jesus. Andrew brought him. Andrew didn't go to his brother and say, hey, brother, you should go see Jesus. I've heard he's pretty cool. I was just hanging out with him for a couple minutes. You should do that. No, he came with. his brother to Jesus. It wasn't a drive-by. Let me clarify what this drive-by thing is. A drive-by could be like the I should. You're recommending, right? You should go. You should do that. It could be a text. Texts are fine. Maybe they're good introductions. But that's not what I'm going for. I'm going for the come with invitations. I'll think about it this way, maybe a weird way to put it. Who's been to Cane's Chicken? We're going to raise your hand just so I can see you. Okay? Put your hands down. Who has not been to Cane's Chicken? Raise your hand. Raise them again. I just want to see you. Okay. I'm looking for somebody. Keep them up. I'm just sweeping through one more time, right? Just sweeping through. Okay. Oh, okay. I got him. All right. I'm going to poke on Aaron over here, because I know this wasn't planned before. I'm not going to ask you to move. So Aaron's never been to Cane's Chicken, which is fine. Aaron, you should go to Cane's Chicken. Right? You didn't see his response, but he did this. Let me change it. Aaron, you've probably gone to other chicken places, and right? Some are good, some are bad. You may have had some bad experiences, but let me tell you. Cane's is pretty good. And hypothetically, we're not going to do this, but hypothetically, tonight at 6, I'm going to be there. And I'd like you to come with me. So at 6, I'd like you to show up. I'll pay. And you can experience Cane's Chicken with me. We can talk about life, but would you come with me? Do you see the difference? He did this again. Totally unscripted. But do you see the difference in the invitation? From the you should to come with, the percentage of time people go, oh yeah, I'll actually go there. Because a come with invitation breaks down so many barriers. Think of the first time that you came to the Vineyard Church. Somebody may have invited you, but some of the thoughts you had. Are they the crazy people? Are they the people that, they don't tell you when something's going to happen, and all of a sudden people kneel, and then I look like an idiot because I'm going, whoa, what happened? Or, hey, does the coffee cost anything? Can I bring the coffee into the auditorium? Right? There's all these things that people, like when the you shoulds go someplace, I've got a whole list of reasons why I may not. But come with, it eliminates all those reasons. Now, I get it. When we do the come with, it makes it a little messy. Right? It makes it... Now I got to carve out time. Now I got to go with them. Now, right, it messes up my life a little bit. But it's the model of Jesus, the come with. Jesus didn't come on the earth and then hang out in the synagogue and go, hey, guys, you should all do these things. Look what he does. In Matthew 4, he says, come follow me. And he modeled for the disciples across 3 years how to do the stuff. Not just the disciples, but there was a group of 72. There was the multitude. And he did the stuff along with the people. He did it with them. It was a huge come with me invitation. Confession, I don't do this perfectly all the time. Because the you should go, super easy to do. I think I got it right with JJ. The will you sit down with me for 6 or 7 weeks, go through the book of Luke, go through the book of Acts. I carved down an hour of my schedule, which was fine, right? But now we're together. And just to sort of break down these barriers, this wasn't me doing anything amazing. We literally sat down. He would read the book of Luke, and it was just, hey, bring up questions. And I probably said 10 times, I don't know, when he brought up questions. I didn't have all the answers. But what's amazing about the power and the presence of God is when you're reading Scripture, and then when people are believing in Jesus, it allowed me to look at him and go, JJ, do you believe in Jesus? And then he would think about that, and he's like, I don't know. And he said yes to Christ. And then, lo and behold, you keep reading the book of Luke. People start getting baptized. What an introduction, right? Hey, JJ, you ever thought about getting baptized? He's like, I don't know. And then he ends up getting baptized. I didn't do anything other than listen to his questions, say, I don't know, a whole bunch of times, but just follow what God was doing. That's the type of invitation and process God's inviting us to. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, Jesus is sharing sort of this unique discussion with a group of people, and he says this. He says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Hopefully you see the invitations in some of these, right? I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the people who are listening are like, Jesus, we never saw you. Hungry, thirsty, in jail. What are you talking about? And he clarifies, and he says, no, you're not getting it. When you do those things, when your life gets messy and invite people to those things, I show up. That was the invitation from him. Some of the greatest moments in my life, some of the best growth in my life has been veiled in those invitations. An invitation changed my life. An invitation likely changed your life. So I want you to think about this question. Fill it in. This week, who needs a first thing invitation? This week, when we are with our family, with our friends, with our neighbors, coworkers, when we hear about the crying needs of the world, the injustices, the I can't believe this is happening. Who needs to hear instead of, I agree? Who needs to hear, you know what I found? There's a whole different answer in Jesus. Who needs to hear that this week? Here's some invitations. And I'm going to share these four examples because I think they're important. These four invitations that I'm going to share are not just to get more people at the church. The four invitations are to get people to the power and the presence of Jesus. It's to see God show up more in people's lives than today. And so here's four invitations. How about we invite people to the Father's Day service? We need, There is a false thinking about men that needs to be rewired in men's lives, that following Jesus is actually manly. And Father's Day is a great way to invite somebody to say, hey, let's hang out at church. And we can experience what godly manhood really is. What about this? This summer we're doing a Summer on the Mount. We're going to explore the Sermon on the Mount. We've got four nights a week. We have groups. How about you invite someone to go with you to one of those groups and see what the power and the presence of God does in their life? What about inviting someone to pray for something while they're hurting or while they're railing against something? How about we pray about that instead of complain about it? How about inviting people to read the book of Luke, even though you don't know the answers, just to see what God will do? Inviting someone that you would never expect to say yes, see what God will do. And I believe that invitations like that will change lives. Someone's greatest moments in their life. Think about this. Someone's greatest moment in their life is hidden behind your invitation. So I want to do something as we close. I want to pray for your first thing invitation, whoever it is. You might not have anybody, but I want to do it in a unique way because there's empty chairs around the auditorium. I want to pray for the empty chairs as representative sort of a place that we can pray for people who should be in that chair to hear about Jesus, to be in the power and the presence of Christ, to have their life change. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite you to find an empty chair and put your hand on it. You might have to move. It's okay if you move. And more than one hand can be on an empty chair. And I'm going to pray. So, Father, we thank you for who you are And God, we believe as a community that the power and the presence of Jesus is better than anything the world has to offer. And so I pray that you help us this week. As people are confused in the world, as people are looking for something, God, help that something that they're looking for be Jesus. And so I pray that you would give us the conviction to share and invite about you, to bring up your name. And so, God, people who should be in these chairs, I pray that you help us invite them. And as a church, Lord, we just commit to making space for people who want to encounter you. It's not for our name. It's for your glory, God. You're calling them. We'll make space. So, God, help us as a community share the very thing the world needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.